So in the Gita starts with Arjuna's confusion. He has grief because he does not know what is his duty. And he's confused about what is right and what is wrong. And so the Lord, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, first starts with the highest knowledge that even though in this battle people will die, but all of us are really that Atma, the immortal self, that is our true nature. But by mistake, we consider ourselves to be this body, mind, and intellect. And with the body, I perceive the objects, chase after things in the world. With the mind, I chase after emotional joys. And with the intellect, I chase after thoughts, ideas, and concepts. And that is our delusion. All of us are really that Om, the Atman, the consciousness, which is our true higher nature. And that is who we really are, but we think ourselves to be this limited individuality called Anil or Tony or Rama or Kerry, male or female, young or old, but we are all that supreme Atma, the supreme consciousness, which is what is functioning through us and what is our true nature. And so Bhagavan tells him that you are that, I am that, and all these kings and all these people are that. So in reality, nobody perishes. The body perishes, but the individual, the consciousness, the Atman is permanent. Na jayate, mriyate, va kadachit, is never born and never died. You and I are never born and we never die because we are immortal. We are that Atman. So then Arjuna doesn't understand that. So then the Lord talks to him from the point of view of duty, that you are at this moment fighting a righteous war. You have an opportunity to help the good, because there is a conflict between good and evil, and you have a very clear choice. There's no question about it. It's not anything doubtful. You know that the path of good is there and the path of evil is on one side. So you have to choose what you are going to do. If you run away, what is going to happen? The evil will win and the good will lose, and then you will be suffering the consequences. You will actually get infamy, you will commit a sin, you will be doing the wrong thing from running away from your duty. And then last week we talked about how one should do karma yoga. So Bhagavan says, sukha dukha same kritva labha labho jaya jayo tatho yuddhaya yudhyasva natvam papam avapsyasi. So he says, how should we work in the world? So he says, be the same in joy and sorrow, heat and cold, success and failure, honor and dishonor, loss and gain. Remain balanced. Loss, gain, success, failure. Does that mean I should not have a goal in life? It doesn't matter whatever happens. Why should I have a goal? No. Gita, the Lord never says do not have a goal. But in the process of achieving that goal, situations could happen that are beyond your control. Like I was driving from San Francisco this morning. We left home at 6 o'clock and I wanted to reach here by 10 so I could get ready for my class. Now suppose I had a flat tire on the way and I couldn't reach on time. Oh, I'm so depressed. I'm so stressed. No, situation is beyond my control. And I'm 20 minutes or half an hour late. Nothing I can do about it. So in that situation, if I get my mind disturbed, or say you are going to work and you have to drop your child at school or at the babysitter or something, and suddenly the child throws up. You don't start cursing the child or yelling at the child. It's something the child could not help. So what do? You go back home, clean up the child, clean up your car. You may be an hour late. Maybe it's a very important business meeting that you couldn't. But what can you do? You can't curse the situation. So have a goal. Have a purpose in life. Do what you're supposed to do. But if situations arise where maybe you don't have success, You worked your hardest, you did your best, you were applying for a project, you know, and somebody else gets the project, you didn't. You tried your best, but circumstances were outside your control. Maybe the other person had a better presentation, or maybe he knew the CEO of the company who was giving the contract. So he got the contract even though he didn't deserve it. So you don't go around cursing your luck and cursing the situation. You say, okay, it happened, but I have to remain calm and next time I'll try better. Next time I'll do better, do a better presentation, make sure I... So that's what is meant, that you have a goal, have a purpose, and work the hardest for it. Krishna himself, the Lord himself, worked so hard throughout his life. Constantly he was working for the good and against evil. All these great Mahatmas, all these great Swami Chinmayanandaji himself, he started and from 1950 and until 1993, until he had took his last breath, 20 hours a day he used to work, constantly traveling, teaching, writing, recording, setting up institutions. Did he ever complain of being tired? Did he ever say no? His goal was very clear. I'm going to re-establish this Vedantic faith, not only in India, but throughout the world, wherever he could. He traveled. And in the way, I'm sure he had problems. Some places, it was very successful. Some places, it was not. That did not stop him. Oh, the people are not helping me. They are not joining me. I'm going to quit. No, he kept on working. If somebody joins him and does the work, very good. Like we have, you know, center here. But so many cities where Gurudev went, there is no center. Or some places, the center is huge. Like in Houston, there are 2,000 children. So some places it works and some places it doesn't. But his goal was very clear. So that's what they say, that do your duty with full effort and success. Ultimately, see, this world is a world of karma. So when you have put the right effort, success will come. Yeah, it may be delayed. It may not be what you think. But sooner or later, every karma produces its result. But if there is a situation where you don't have success, do not worry. Just keep on doing your work. That's what the Lord told us last week. Today's verse actually is so inspiring for me. I know I say that, but this is a beautiful verse about how to work. And when I was reading this verse, I was so happy. This particular verse, number 40, is so beautiful. Has a lot of message for all of us. Any work you do in the world, this verse is very useful. So chapter 2, verse number 40. Neha bhikrama nashosti.
Neha bhikrama nashosti.
Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Svalpam apyasya dharmasya.
Svalpam apyasya dharmasya.
Trayate mahato bhayat.
Trayate mahato bhayat.
So iha means here. When he says here, he's referring to the previous verses where he had praised karma yoga. And what is karma yoga? Karma is activity. Yoga means attached to the Lord. Activity that is devoted to the Lord or to a higher cause. It could be for my country. It could be for my church, for my community, for my group. So any activity which is dedicated to a higher cause, unselfish, without I or my. So this activity, karma yoga, people say, you know, but there are so many problems. I'm trying to help society, but nobody helps. Nobody participates. Nobody appreciates. See, that is another big complaint. I did so much and nobody appreciates. They don't even say thank you. So are you doing work because somebody should tell me thank you? No, you're doing work out of the feeling in your heart that it is a right thing to do, not because somebody should appreciate, somebody should thank me, or I should get some reward here or in heaven. No, I do it because it's the right thing to do. So iha, so in this path of service or path of karma yoga, there are two problems that can arise in any activity we do. So these are two very technical words. One is abhikrama nasho. Abhikrama nasha. and other one is pratyavaya. So there are two words, Sanskrit words, abhikramanasya and pratyavaya. So he says here there is no abhikramanasya. What is abhikramanasya? Loss of sequence, and I'll explain that. Asti. So there is no loss of sequence and no pratyavayo, and there are no adverse consequences of this karma yoga. There is no loss of sequence, there are no adverse consequences. We'll explain that. And swa alpa amapi, even a little bit asya of this dharmasya, of this karma yoga, even a little bit if you do, trayate mahato bhayat, it protects you from great fear, even the greatest sorrow, fear, it will protect you. So it's a very beautiful verse. We'll spend some time discussing it. So what do they mean by loss of sequence? So loss of sequence, we can understand. Say you're a farmer and you're doing farming. So you have to follow a particular sequence, right? So what I'm going to harvest next May, I have to plan in the previous year, August. You cannot start in April that I'm going to harvest wheat in May, or rice, or whatever it may be, whatever, carrots. So what do? You start the year before. So the August, July, August, the year before, you plan what I'm going to put on this particular land. And so say I'm going to plant rice or wheat or whatever I want to plant. So what I first do, first I plow the land. I bring a tractor, then I till it, you know, then I make the fine lines, then I put the seed, then I put the fertilizer, I make sure there's enough water. Then as the tiny little plants are growing, I build a fence so that other animals may not come and eat it. And then I harvest when the crop grows, at the harvest at the right time in May, then I store it properly in the barn, then I ship it to the market. So there is a sequence I have to follow. But say I forget the sequence, like, okay, I put the seed, I plow it, I do all that, but I forget to put fertilizer. Or I build a fence, but the fence has a hole in it, so animals come and eat it. So I have missed one part of the sequence. Now, will my crop be good? No. If I don't put fertilizer, my crop will not be good. If I don't build a fence or there's a hole in the fence, half my crop will be eaten up by stray animals and all that. Here it doesn't happen so much, but in India, you know, animals wander. So even though I have put all the work, but if I have not followed the sequence, then my results will not be that good. Or sequence could be anything in computers, those who are doing computer. Now suppose you want to write a computer program. So first you see, is there a need for this program? Yes, there is a need. Then you get the financing done. Then you find the right personnel to write the program. Then once the program has been written, you check for any bugs, any problems. And then that particular program has to be marketed. But suppose you forget one or two steps and the program is sold to a lot of customers. Then what could happen? The sequence, not only you will get a bad name, but pratyavayo, there will be adverse consequences, like people will get upset and they will be calling tech support. You know, your program is no good. I have this problem, this bug. So there could be a loss of sequence, which A, could result in loss of productivity. Like the company may suffer loss because my program is not good or the farming is not good. Or there may be adverse consequences where people will start shouting at you and then you have to bring tech support and then you have to hire more people to fix the bugs. Or like in medicine, you know, there are two medicines which may be very good. You know, there may be one for heart and one for psychiatric problems. The medicines are very good. But when they are mixed, given together and they both work on the liver, pratyavayo, you could have an adverse consequences. The patient could have liver problems, could have a reaction, could have heart problems. So when the sequence is not followed, either the product may not be that good, or even adverse things could happen. As I said, you know, tech support or adverse consequences for the patient. But he says in karma yoga, This does not happen. There is no question of loss of sequence. There is no question of adverse effects. People say, you know, nobody is cooperating. Doesn't matter. Just do what you can do. Oh, but will there be adverse? No. Once your motive is clear, once your intention is clear, even if you do not follow the sequence 100%, even if you do not do everything, there will never be an adverse effect. If you are doing the right thing with the right motive, even a little effort you put in this direction, he says, do not wait for an opportunity. So there are beautiful examples. Like in farming, I already talked about. In medicine. Then another thing is stars. Like people say, the situation is not suitable for this kind of activity. Like in rituals, you know, stars are important. Say if you're doing a particular ritual, for example, a marriage. In India, they have certain months when marriages can be performed. Why? Because the stars are conducive. And there are other months where there are no marriages. And in the months where there are marriages going on, there's so many marriages, you can't find a tent, you can't find the vendors, you can't find the people to play that music, the band and all. Why? Because there are thousands of weddings going on in every town. And in other months when there is no, you know, sitare theek nahi hai, these people are without work. Why? Because rituals only have to be done under particular situations where the stars are conducive. But to serve somebody, do you need to look at the stars? No. You have an opportunity, go and help. You do not need to worry about people are not conducive. I am doing my duty. If people appreciate or not, doesn't matter. If people cooperate or not, doesn't matter. These great masters didn't wait for people or for the right stars or for the people to participate. They said, it is my duty, I'll go ahead and do it. Swami Vivekananda, when he came to the US, how many problems he had, if you have heard his story. He didn't worry about who will receive me at the port and who will receive me at the train. He said, I'm going to go speak at the world conference. He just went. And the lady who saw him at the train station, it was the last day and his ship was delayed. And he was sitting at the train station. The people who were supposed to receive him didn't come because he was 2 weeks late. And he was supposed to speak at the world conference. All of you know the story. And a lady shows up there and she says, she looked at the Swami wearing orange. And she says, what are you waiting here for? He said, well, I don't know where to go. And he didn't have much money. He didn't have, you know, in those days, they didn't have communication. Didn't have phones or cell phones. He said, nobody's here to receive me. She said, why are you here? He says, I'm here to speak at the world conference. She says, do you know tomorrow is the last day? You know, this has been going on for a week. He says, yeah, but my ship got delayed. I don't know how to go there. And she was the wife of the organizer, the main organizer. So she took him to her house and next morning gave him the opportunity to speak. And he made the best presentation where he talked about Vedanta. So when you have an opportunity to do good, just do it. Do not wait for any circumstances, situations. Will there be any adverse effects? The example they give is a marathon or a walkathon. Say you are participating in the Olympics in a marathon. Now in the Olympics, thousands of people all over the world, hundreds of thousands are preparing for the marathon. Out of them, about say 40 or 50 or 60 are sent, one from each country who can meet the timing. Now, out of those 60, only 3 win the medal, right? Gold, silver, and bronze. Hundreds of thousands of people are running. So there you need to put the right effort. There can be adverse consequences. Suppose you don't train properly. Or we find people who start training for a marathon who are not in good physical shape and they get heart attack, they get problems. So there you need to follow the sequence and there can be adverse effects. But suppose you are doing a walkathon, like we have the Quad Walkathon, so Jata will be organizing coming up. Does it matter how many rounds you walk? You know, here we walk rounds, the children walk to raise funds for Quad, which is a very beautiful project. A lot of work is going on for women and children's upliftment in India. Now, does it matter whether you finish one round or two rounds or three rounds or you do 20 rounds? No. The cause is good. So there is no adverse consequences. Even one round you make, at least you have raised awareness of God to the people you have spoken to. You have raised funds for a good cause. So there is no sequence to be required. They don't say you have to minimum walk five rounds before. No. He says, I'll walk as much as I can, and they collect pledges. So when you're working for a good cause, there is no sequence required and there is no adverse consequences. If you are helping others, there is absolutely never any adverse, and there is no sequence required. And they say that even a little bit releases you from great fear. I say, what kind of fear is that? So the masters tell us that we have fear within us, fear of failure, fear of what people will think, fear of nobody will participate, fear of nobody will appreciate, fear of I don't know how to do it, I'm not as good as the next person, you know, that person is doing so much work for the society, but I'm not that good. Say, don't worry about it, because security is within. Fear is all within, but we think fear is outside. Fear is within and security is within. And what is security? The Lord, Bhagwan. Lord is with us. We are working because of Him. I'm speaking because Lord is in me. You are all listening because Lord. So there is nothing to be afraid of, because fear is within and security is within. We think about security, oh, I must have an alarm system, I must have a guard, I must have dogs. Yes, we need to have minimum, but to constantly live in fear of things will not work the way I want is foolish. So they say, look for security within and do what you are supposed to do. Now, what is as a grahastha, as a householder, what is our duties? What are we supposed to do? And people say, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to serve? Whom am I going to serve? So our scriptures say there are five kinds of yagnas. I've written in the bottom, Deva Yagna, everybody can read, Pitru Yagna, Rishi Yagna, Manushya Yagna, and Bhuta Yagna. So five type of debt we have. Five type of people we need to repay our debt, and that is as a householder. It is our duty to do all five. It's not, you cannot pick one out of five or two out of five. All five are required for every householder. If you are a householder, if you have a family, you have to do this. There is no choice. So let us see one, the Deva Yagna. So Deva, now the Lord or the gods in heaven have given us so much. Sunlight is free, air is free, water is free, rain is free. Our body, mind and intellect that was given to us by God is free. We didn't pay God for anything. I didn't say, God, I'll give you $1 million, give me human birth. No, we got human birth because of our karmas. Otherwise, we could have been born as an animal or whatever. So we have to be thankful to God for everything that He has given us. And God means all the gods. The God of rain, the God of sun, the God of wind. You know, that's why in our scriptures, they are all worshipped. People worship the sun god, the rain, the water, the ocean, the river, the mountain, because they all serve us. So we have a. So how do we repay the gods? So they say, first of all, by gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Get up in the morning after you have done, finished a shower every morning. Thank you, God, for giving me warm, clean water. You know, we just take water for granted. We just waste so much water when we are running the washing the dishes. The water keeps running. I mean, we have no control. We don't conserve water for bath, for everything. So be grateful to the Lord. Thank you, God, for giving me warm water. In plenty. There are so many parts of the world where they don't have water. They have to walk 5 miles just to get a little bit of water in a pot to use for the whole day. So Deva Yagna. So A, serve, be thankful to God, and B, serve the world, because God is in everybody. So gratitude to God and love for God. In fact, even our message to the students today is that how do you reach God? Through love and single-pointed devotion. So, first is gratitude to God. Then Pitra. Pitra is our ancestors, our parents who gave us birth. It is our duty to take care of them when they get old. It is not a favor we are doing, but it is our responsibility, our duty. But not only parents, but even grandparents and great-grandparents. So how do we show gratitude? First of all, of course, by showing gratitude to them, but also making an effort to preserve our culture. See, our ancestors have passed to us this glorious culture of, you know, of all these Vedas and these scriptures, which also I'll talk a little more. So make an effort, and which Swami Chinmayananda did by establishing all these centers of spiritual excellence and Bal Vihar and all that. So that is the Pitru Yagna, where I continue my family traditions. If there are certain good things that are happening in my family, I should continue. Then Rishi Yagna. Rishi is the great masters, Ved Vyas and Shankaracharya and all these great rishis, who Ashwalayana and all, who gave us these scriptures. So how do I express my gratitude to all the great teachers? A, by studying it. B, by applying it in my life. And C, by spreading this knowledge. So it is my duty to spread this great Vedic knowledge that we have received from the rishis, to understand it, apply it, and then spread it to others. So that is a requirement, Rishi Rin, because the rishis have done so much for us. That means the prophets and the masters who came before us, who gave us this scriptural knowledge, it is our duty to understand it, not just mechanically read it, but understand it, apply it, and then spread it. Then Manushya Yagna. Manushya Yagna means all human beings. I should love all and serve all because God is in all. So everybody's child is my child. Everybody's wife is my wife. No, not that. Sorry, not that. I don't know why I said that. But so the point is that I should serve all humans as me. That's what Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Just as I love myself, I should love my neighbor. I should love everybody and serve everybody because they're all manifestations of God. So that's number four. And fifth is Bhuta Yagna. Bhuta means all living being. So I should not destroy plants unnecessarily, respect and take care of animals, birds, plants, fish. Do not destroy the environment. You know, drive eco-friendly cars. Do not overuse, resources. As I said, do not waste water. Do not pollute the air. So these are all bhuta. So I take care of whole of society. So the point is, I have five kinds of debts. One to the gods, one to the ancestors, one to humans, one to rishis, the prophets, and one to the entire society. So as a human being and as a householder, it is my duty to do all five. And if I am not doing it, I am failing in my duty. So this is the essence of these beautiful words where Krishna says, even a little effort you do for karma yoga, it protects you from great fear. So if anytime you get an opportunity to help somebody, just do it without asking when and why. If I have an opportunity to serve, do it. In fact, be grateful to that person that he has given me an opportunity to serve, because through service, I am purifying my mind, I am making my mind pure, and I am evolving. So when I help somebody or when I serve somebody, it should not be that I am doing you a great favor. No, thank you, God, and thank you, this person, for giving me the opportunity to serve. That should be the attitude of gratitude. It's a very, very beautiful verse, which we can apply from today itself. I think it's very useful. So, Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्। शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम। श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम।